I'd appreciate interest in your prayers this afternoon. A little burden on my heart. I'd like to ask the Lord to bless it. I enjoy once again being here at the Monarch meeting. I'm always blessed to be amongst God's people, and I appreciate the love and the compassion and the prayers and support that we have for one another. And when we're facing battles, we send a call out for prayer, that the Lord hears those prayers. And I'm very thankful that we have a family of people that will get on their knees, on their faces before the Lord. We sing that song, "We Need Each Other, Brethren," and every time we sing that song, as Brother Ed made reference to the message Brother Tony had about the faces coming before him, I think of faces parade before me, "We Need Each Other, Brethren," and how many people there are that have, as the Scripture says, like precious faith. I'm thinking this evening about something that God imparted to man whenever He created man. We read in the account of the creation that there was darkness and chaos in this void that was later created called earth. And God spoke to that. But in that passage there, it says that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And I think about that often. I think about the Spirit of God, the force that is in God. And I think of the way that things move and change in this world. I think of the things that happen to me in my day-to-day life. And I ask for God's guidance in my life, and I'm sure you do too. And I don't always understand, I don't always know what's going to happen next. I always know the next obstacle that might cross my path or the next blessing that might come. But a long time ago, I asked the Lord to sanctify me. And I asked Him to send His Spirit into my heart, and to possess me, and to have free rule and reign in me. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't know what that ride was going to be like. And I don't think any one of us did or do. But the Lord knows how to carry us through this life and help us in the places that we need understanding and direction. The Lord knows how to do that. We also read, when God created man, that there was a part of Himself that He put in man. Because the Scripture says that God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So I believe that from the beginning of time, creation, that mankind had something of God in him. I believe that that was, if you'll allow me this liberty, I believe that Adam and Eve both were created in an absolute pure state, and that they were what we would probably term sanctified. They were sanctified. They were pure. Completely, totally pure. Satan was there too. And I find that even in my life, even though I profess to be sanctified and have the Holy Spirit in my life, I still find Satan is there. He's there knocking on the door. He's there trying to trip me up. He's there to send temptations and obstacles in the way. He's there. He's still just as real today as he was then. And I have to deal with him. So they transgressed. The Scripture tells us before the transgression that God walked with them and talked with them in the cool of the day. We also read that once the transgression was done, that they were afraid and hid themselves. And God called out to Adam and said, "Where are you?" He said, I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself. Well, I believe at that point God had to withdraw something of Himself from man, and that man was left with a void, a vacancy in his life. And try as he might to get that back, there was something that God had pulled away. It was that deep, special relationship that He yearned to give back to His people. I'd like to talk about our responsibility today, and my message, I guess, is more focused on men. But I realize that we deal in a society where there are several single-parent homes where sometimes a father is having to act like a mother, carry on the duties and responsibilities of a mother. And vice versa, a mother is having to take on responsibilities that she wasn't created for and trying to bear up under that load. So while my message more specifically is geared toward fathers, the males, there's a part of it that's for the women also. I'm thinking of a word, a vicegerent. A vicegerent is one that takes the place of another. I believe that the Lord would have... Let me say it this way. I have heard it said and believe this to be true, and I'm sure you've heard it, that sometimes the only Bible a person will ever read is my life, is your life. And really, while I love the Word of God, I read the Word of God, and I want to understand as much of it as I can, what I really want to see, I want to see it lived. I want to see it lived out not only in my life, but I want to see it lived out in others' lives. I want to see them really endeavoring to apply the principles, the precepts, and the concepts of religion and a relationship with God and holiness and righteousness. I want to see them try to practice that in their lives to the best of their ability and their understanding, with the Spirit of God leading and teaching and moving. I want to see people do that. And I think how important it is in this world that we live in today, probably more so now than ever has been, how important it is that we live consistent, godly, principled lives before the world. Because the truth is, folks, God is not here in bodily presence. We have His Word, and there are many people that have Bibles in their homes, a Bible on the shelf, but there are some people in this world that don't own one. They don't have one, and if they do have one, they don't know what it's about. They don't know the stories. I'll tell you this. When I was a child, I didn't understand these Bible stories. Didn't know who the characters were. Was very embarrassed at times when I would be in Sunday school and hear those stories talked about and taught, and I didn't know who they were, and shuddered if I were to be put on the spot to ask a question because I couldn't answer the questions. But because there were godly people that had an influence on my life and lived out their lives with the influence of God on them, it taught me something. It filled a void and a vacancy in my life that I didn't have, that I desperately needed. But I find that there is a God in heaven that rules and works in the affairs of men, and He knows your heart. He knows every person here today. He knows the difficulties that you have. He knows the obstacles that Satan has placed in your path. He knows the places where you are dealing with difficulty emotionally. He knows the teaching or lack of teaching or training that you have had in your home. He knows the influences that you have been subjected to in your environment. He's aware of all of those things. And I believe with all of my heart today that had it not been for, I could probably name to you four people. If there had not been these four people in my life that took time, went out of their way to see to it that I heard something about these characters, to see to it that I heard some of these songs, to see to it that I was put in a place where I could be amongst some of God's people, I don't know where I'd be today. I don't know where the tide of this world was pulling hard on me. I remember the days whenever I would be outside riding on my motorcycle up and down the highway and recognizing the cars going by on Sunday morning, on Sunday evening, on Wednesday evening. I knew where they were going, but my heart wasn't bent that direction. It was another direction. But because there were seeds planted earlier in my life, God had something there to work with. He was able to do something and touch my heart and touch my life. So here we are, sitting in heavenly places, as we've heard it described so many times, and I agree. But we're here because, not only because the Lord loved us, but because someone else loved us enough to introduce us to these kinds of things. And this term vicegerent is one that takes the place of another. And how important it is for us to realize that we have a responsibility not just to one another. These are wonderful people here in this audience today. And I believe they love the Lord. And my heart tells me that I have a relationship with you and we have a spirit that is kindred with you. And I feel that and I'm glad that we have that. But there are people, there are children, there are some who walk amongst these grounds. You have children, you have nieces, nephews, grandchildren. You have brothers and sisters, family members that are not saved. And their parents are not saved. And you desperately want to see those little children have an opportunity to be saved. You desperately want to see them have a chance. This is our opportunity, folks. To stand in the place of, we have an obligation to stand in the place of one, God, who is not here in bodily presence, and exhibit before them an opportunity or something that would draw them to the Lord. Oh, how many times my mind went back to all those little simple songs about Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. How many times my mind went back to those little songs I heard when I was a little boy and sitting in that environment, didn't understand, didn't know who Zacchaeus was, but I knew something about a sycamore tree. I knew he was a short man. But later in years, those things started coming home. And they started making a difference. I was speaking with someone just recently. They said, I'm planning to go to the Monarch meeting. And I'm going to bring my grandchildren. I don't expect I'll get much out of that meeting. But I'm going to take my grandchildren there. I want them to be there. I said, if you're going there with your grandchildren and you intend for them to be around those people, God will take that part. He'll see what you need and He'll supply your needs and He'll also give those children something. They yearned to be here. They had a desire to be here. They wanted to be around the people. Something about it, folks, we have something from God that should be a magnet that attracts people. And these children were attracted. They wanted to be here. And this grandmother says, I'm going to get my children there. Those grandchildren, I'm going to have them there. She said, I don't expect that I'll get a whole lot out of that meeting. But I say, folks, that's a vicegerent. That's being in a place, being willing to take the place of one who is not here in bodily form, but put the children in a place where they can receive some of the blessings of the Lord, where they can hear the stories, where they can color the little coloring books. And we might look at that and say, I don't know how much value there is in that. I'll tell you there's value in that. There's value in that when those children see those names, they see those characters, they hear the nuts and bolts about those little stories of who those people are, and they may not understand. They may leave here and go back to a home where they hardly ever hear a story like that for another year, 6 months, who knows? But God knows. And He has planted a seed in their lives. So the vicegerent. I've looked at this little passage in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Where it says, he talks about the relationship between the husbands and wives. And I look at this 25th verse that says, husbands, Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've read that passage several times in my life. I've read the passage there above it that says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And I've read that about husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And I've had to stop and examine myself. And I've had to say, I have had to be honest with myself and before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not there yet. Try as I might, as much as I can as a human being, I can't begin to imagine the love that Jesus Christ had for His people, for His church. I can't begin to imagine the vision that He saw down through the ages and the souls that He was able to see down through the ages and how much sacrifice He made for us. I look at that and I say, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's a tall order. And I say in my human frailty, my human weakness, I don't know, Lord, if I'll ever be able to attain to that level. I want to. I try to. I know that it's important for me to do it. But there's something in this, folks, that tells us that we have got a full-time job on our hands to love our wives and husbands as Christ loved the church, gave Himself for it, and as a church is subject, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Now, we don't have Jesus here in bodily form, do we? I've often wondered, if He was here, would I recognize Him? I've often wondered. I'll think about it myself. But you know where He is today? He's in you. He's in you. He is in every one of us. And if we conduct ourselves in accordance to the Scriptures and the Word of God, folks, God has given us a responsibility. He's given us an obligation. He's given us something precious in His absence, in Jesus' absence. God has placed you and me as vicegerents of God here in this world so that we might further His cause while we're here, so that we might have some type of influence and impact on other souls in this world. No man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. I have a responsibility and it broadens out every day that I live. Every day that I live, everywhere I go, every step I take, my responsibility in life gets broader and broader. As I come here to these grounds, I look at the faces of these people, and I love you. I don't know every one of your names. My human frailties, they let them slip. I can see your faces, and I recognize all of your faces, but I may not be able to call every name. But if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you have something to offer me. Oh, how important it is for us to be true to our responsibilities to one another. And I would say, as I watch those little children file by here, so many different expressions on their faces. I thought about the innocence and the purity that's in children. I thought about the motives that they have. I thought about how much the Lord loves them and how much He wants them. And I thought about how many times as they grow up, as they get older, Satan is there to take advantage of them. Or somebody in the world is there to take advantage of them. Somebody is there trying to quash their opportunity, trying to take that away from them. And too many times he's successful. But I'll say to you, where Jesus said that if you've given a cup of water in my name, you've done it to me. And all the things that we can do in this life, if we're trying to reach souls, if we're trying to help somebody, if we're trying to help a child, trying to help an adult, if we realize that we're doing those things and trying to save a soul from a devil's hell, the Lord will give us our reward. It won't be here. But I look back now. This is partly personal that I'm going to share with you. But I remember having a curiosity. And I believe it was sparked by those little pieces of stories and songs that I heard as a child. And I remember having a curiosity at some point, waking in my life, that I wanted to know a little bit more about what was going on down the road. Because I lived just within a mile and a half or so of the chapel there in La Ronger. And I have an aunt and an uncle that would stop by our house. Many times we'd walk down to the end of the road, and they would pull in the driveway, and we'd get in the car, and they'd take my brother and me to church, to Sunday school. You know, as a child, I didn't think much about that as a child. It was just a chance for me to go to Sunday school. But I look back now, over the years, and I realize how much of an impact that had on my life. Vicegerents. A person who is taking the place of another. God has put a responsibility and obligation upon each one of us while we're here. We're not here just to mark time. We're not here just to enjoy this life and enjoy this world. We do enjoy it, we're not here just for that. We're here to help further God's kingdom. So I would say to you today, you be encouraged. I don't know what battles you're facing. I don't know what obstacles Satan might have tried to lay in your pathway. I don't know from the faces of the children as they file by looking at them, I don't know what's in their lives. I don't know what difficulties they have at home. I don't know who all their parents are. But I do know this, that if you brought one of those children here to this meeting, this Monarch meeting, and you put them in a place where they could hear stories, songs, and be exposed to godly people, God sees that. And may I encourage you today to not take that lightly. And may I encourage you today to put up with their little whims and fancies. Put up with the little things that the questions that they ask that they don't understand. Put up with some of that and deal with some of that and be faithful to them and try to answer their questions. Take time. I have memories rolling over and over in my mind of the things that I heard, the things that I saw, and all those things come back to me. And two of those people were my grandparents, dead and gone now, that helped me, instilled some things there that I didn't understand, and I'm confident of this one thing. They prayed many a prayer for my soul while I was out riding a motorcycle. While I was going up and down the highway, people going to church and I'm going another direction, that they had been praying for my soul. And I am convinced of this thing also, that all of these children that we have around us, if we live our lives out, the Lord spares time, we're going to fade off of the scene one by one. We'll leave. And in the natural course of things, most of them will come up behind us. And I'm convinced in my soul that the prayers that my grandparents prayed, the prayers that your grandparents prayed, the prayers that your loved ones have prayed for you, and while they may be dead and gone, that as long as I am alive and there's breath in this body, that those prayers are alive before the throne of God. That God is still moving. He heard those prayers. Every one of them prayed in my behalf. They're still working for me because God knows that I still need help. And I sometimes get down on my face before Him and I don't know the words to say. My words run out. I'm poured out like water before Him. I can't express the burden that I feel, but I know that someone else has prayed prayers for me. And I remember a prayer that Jesus prayed. In the 17th chapter of the book of John, He said, concerning His disciples, neither pray I for these alone, but for all that would believe on Me through their word. Folks, that's handed down now from generation to generation to generation to you and to me. And why was it done? Because God loved the world. He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son that we could be saved. I think of the risk that He took. We heard this morning about Peter, about Thomas. Thomas saying, I will not believe it until I thrust my hand in his side and I see the prints in his hands. Peter being as impulsive as he was, and Jesus looking at those men, flesh and blood, with their idiosyncrasies, and saying, I leave it with these men, and I'm going back to God. And he left it to them. And because they were faithful, down through the years, folks, it's been passed down from that time of Christ to you and to me today because someone accepted the responsibility of a vicegerent. They were willing to take it. So when the battle seems long, the battle seems hard, and it seems like you don't want to take that next step, take that next step. Take that next step not for you, but for those coming after you. For those children that are coming after you. Those children that are wanting to follow in your footsteps. You see how, you may remember how it was when you were young. Ladies wanting to wear their mother's shoes. The boys wanting to wear their father's boots. Trying to clomp around in those boots and shoes when they weren't able to do it. But there was something there that they were trying to mimic. Something there, there was something instilled in them. They wanted to be like somebody else that was a figure in their lives. May God help us to be in a place where we can be figures in someone else's life, something that they can, as the saying is, hang their hat on. Something you can count on. I thank God for His love and mercy to me. I thank Him for His dealings. And I thank God for people that He placed in my life to help me along the way. You pray for me and let's be true and faithful to the cause of God.